Christmas, and we are so glad to have everybody here worshiping Jesus. That is, it's very cheesy, but it is really the reason why we celebrate this time of year. That is really the purpose of really not even this month, but our entire lives is to live for Jesus. So why don't we open up to a very familiar text, which is Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It'll be one verse, but we're going to kind of span through the Christmas story. You've heard it so many times. So many times. And so I hope that this is a refreshing look at the Scriptures. I hope the Holy Spirit will give you a new perspective on it, a new excitement, that you might even look back at this Christmas as the time when Jesus truly showed you who He was all about and why He came. So chapter 2 of Luke, verse 19. The Bibles are in front of you at the pew. If you didn't bring one, that's fine. Here is God's holy word given to you. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, that's going to be kind of the thing that I want us to listen and meditate on and to think about and carry this into tomorrow and obviously into Sunday's worship, to be thinking and meditating. What did Mary think? What did she ponder? What was she so taken by that she had to step back and think about it? In Christmas, you have a number of different emotions, all of which I love. I love the feeling of Christmas movies. I love how they set up Christmas shopping in August. They start putting all that stuff for us to buy, and yet we still wait to the very end. I was actually buying things today. But I love all this stuff. I love the lights. I love the mountains of snow we get in this part of the country. It actually has been pretty cold, and I enjoy that just for the brief time that we have. These things are great, but there's clearly something more to Christmas. So I want to take you on this journey. It's going to be very difficult for me to paint a picture of what really Mary went through and what she had to, I guess, what she saw. But with the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit can take you back and give you glimpses of what went on. And He can give them to you individually. There are certain things that you may see that someone else wouldn't. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to sift through here and work in our hearts in a miraculous way. And I'm eager for that to happen. So let's go to the first chapter, verse 27, and pick up the introduction, kind of like a movie does. It kind of introduces the main character. There's an event that happens. And so we know that the rest of the movie is going to be centered on this one figure. And that's what's going on here in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. It says, let's just read verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth in the town of Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. There's the introduction. This whole story now is going to be centered on this one figure right for us. And in verse 28, the angel then begins to say, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I want you to picture going into, I don't think this happened to anybody, but say you were shopping and all of a sudden balloons and confetti and everybody starts screaming, "This is amazing. You are the 1 millionth customer and we're going to give you $1 million. And it's so intense, you're drawn back, you don't even know what to say. I can imagine that Mary, maybe not like that, but trying to paint some type of picture in you of how intense this situation was. This angel comes to her and starts saying, "You are favored. The Lord is with you." That's intense. How many of you have been visited by an angel? Jacob has. All right, let's talk about that. Fantastic. You are highly favored, Jacob. It is a situation that doesn't happen anymore. But we get to read and see that it did happen to an individual. She's taken back. And you're highly favored. Do you think maybe she thought, "I must have done something really good to get this type of visit"? I don't think she did. That's my personal opinion. I don't want to read into the text, but I think her being a good, godly woman, she would say, Why am I favored? What is it that you, God, would send an angel to talk to me? I'm assuming that's starting to mull over in her head. So verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Do not be afraid. All throughout the Bible, when angels showed up to people, one of the first things they would say was, "Don't be scared. I've come from God. Don't be scared." And then what's interesting is that skeptics, when approaching the Scripture, or anybody really approaching the Scripture, we look at it in a different lens than I think we should. The lens should be, okay, God, if this really is true, make those fears of doubts go away. That's the approach I think we need to have. In fact, I know it's what we need to have. No problem looking at the different details of Scripture, but approaching it as, this might be true. Lord, prove it. Let me read this, and He will calm your fears, I promise you. So verse 31 through 33, we'll read that. "You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." This isn't it's highly theological, but I think Mary takes it very practical. And the reason I say that is because she says something immediately after this information. Look at verse 34. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Very practical. Okay, that's great. Be named Jesus. Highly theological statement. But I'm a virgin. I'm not married. I don't do things that married people do. Why is it that this can be? How is this possible? Again, she is thinking. She is pondering. She is meditating on this. And I think even now, as we're reading this, we've even forgotten the fact that she's having a dialogue with an angel. So I think even as we move through the Scriptures, we sometimes step back and we don't realize the intensity of the situation. She's dialoguing with a messenger from God. This is an incredible situation. So verse 35. So he answers her. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I've seen some videos of people on roller coasters, and they videotape them, and they get this excitement, and they're screaming, and they're excited. But there comes a point when certain people on the video, they will say in their facial expressions, "This is great, but this needs to stop. Get me off of this thing now. This is great. Get it. Stop it. Not fun anymore." And I wonder if the intensity is going on that Mary's almost saying, "Okay, you just said I'm going to have Jesus, this one who's been prophesied about, and I'm a virgin. Okay, you got to slow down. This is a lot to take for a young, teenaged girl pledged to be married to Joseph." But the angel continues to go on. Verse 36. Oh, by the way, I just inserted that, but 36 says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month." She is moving along in her second trimester. And she's a relative. She's old and gray. Sorry, I'm gray, so I can make gray jokes. But she is old, and so even more miraculous things are happening. The roller coaster is not stopping. In fact, it's getting more accelerated. It's getting more intense. This stuff's happening all over the land. The the Holy Spirit will come upon you. What does that mean? Well, to calm her fears, as God does in such a miraculous and beautiful way to all of us in different times. This could be a great Christmas for you. This could be a sorrowful Christmas. But He comforts you. He encourages you. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. That's the God we serve. One who will do that for us. And so He says in verse 37, the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. To calm her fears, all these things that are going on like a roller coaster, up and down, nothing's impossible. Relax. God is driving the roller coaster. He's in charge. He knows where every turn is. He's got you buckled in. You're going to be just fine. Nothing is impossible with God. And so as beautifully as it could be put, Mary says this in verse 38. I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. I'm not sure if that's a statement that I would have come up with, or maybe you would have come up with, but I'm glad that's the statement she said. If that's the way it is, Lord, let it be. I really began to admire Mary as I studied this text. And so in the Bible, we have all these wonderful details, and that's why it's so long. It's because there's great details, and those details are there for a reason. I want to tell you a quick story in Acts chapter 12. There's this story that has one of the I've laughed out loud at this passage. There is Peter in prison, and there's this group of people that are praying. They're saying, well, I really hope Peter is he can be escaped, or someone can free him, or maybe even miraculously, maybe the Lord will set him free. Peter, while they're praying, Peter actually gets set free. And so he runs to that house and knocks on the door. And this lady comes over, her name's Rhoda. She comes over and she says, who is it? He says, it's Peter. She's so excited. She doesn't even open the door. She runs back and says, this is fantastic. Peter is here. And they're like, oh, no. That's crazy. That's impossible. Let's get back to praying that Peter gets released. And so they start praying. And finally, they run over and they say, no, seriously, Peter is really there. So they open up the door and they're screaming and hollering and cheering. And Peter's, and it says, he hushed. You can almost envision him saying, shut up. I don't want to go back. Be quiet. I want you to have to pray and not believe again. The Bible is filled with great details like that. And I want you to embrace the Scriptures with great expectation of wonderful details. Yes, the story is very simple. God sent Jesus, who was God, for us to die, rise again. We live through Him, the Gospel. But in that, there's so much more. And to not investigate that and not to take joy in that would give the Bible a cheap glance. So I wonder how much pondering we have done this Christmas. It is hard. My job is to ponder, and it is very hard here, just being in American Christianity, to ponder the great truths of what we're celebrating. So we have a break in the action a little bit. In verse 39, Mary goes and hurries to a town. The New King James says, in haste. So this quickness that she's got to get and talk to Elizabeth about what's going on. I don't know how much pondering she's doing as she's running to see Elizabeth. But verse 41, this is where it even gets more powerful. Again, the roller coaster doesn't stop here. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, this is not Mary's baby, but John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb here, it says the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. What does this tell us? Again, details. Does she not know the chemistry that's going on with the child and the baby? And so Luke says, you know, he just kicked. And theologians for centuries have always really said this is something other than just a kick. As Rick preached on this a couple weeks ago, a worship service bursted out right in that womb by an infant who can't even say the name Jesus, and yet there's a worship service going on. This is miraculous stuff. It's so much that Elizabeth said, and they knew, something just happened. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, Luke records this. There was a worship service right in the womb. Make it stop, or let the keep the roller coaster going. So I want to ask you about your children. If John the Baptist can be converted in the womb and burst into worship in the womb, and not even be able to say the name Jesus, and yet is going to be reigning in heaven with Jesus one day, should you not be telling your children about Jesus, even as a baby, even in the womb, even as a little child? They may not theologically get it all. That's okay. You don't either. I don't either. Tell them about Jesus, even if they don't know. Who knows? One of these children may be converted tonight. Isn't that amazing? Something that miraculous can happen not only to just Elizabeth, but to your children today. Maybe even to you. Mary goes and sings a song. I just want to emphasize the one verse in verse 46. Actually, I'm sorry, 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my," what's it say? Savior. She knows she needs a Savior, and she knows that Savior is in her womb. So not only can you be converted in the womb, but God can send Jesus, the Son of God, into a womb so we can be converted through that baby. Amazing if you really think about that and ponder it. So she stays with Elizabeth for about 3 months. And I wonder if this is the period where Joseph is pondering what to do with this pregnant virgin. What am I going to do with this situation I've been given? And in God's grace, he sends an angel to comfort him. He says, "Don't fear. I've got it under control." And Joseph ponders it, and he moves forward in the right direction. So we're settled back here in Nazareth, chapter 2. This is where the narrative of Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas starts. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. How convenient. She's getting ready to give birth, and now I've got to travel. Not by airplane, not by bus or car, but by walking or on a camel or however they traveled. But she's, I think at this point, I've thought things through a little bit. And it's almost, I would guess, of like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable. I got to travel now and have this baby. I might have this baby in Bethlehem." And I'm reminded today when Rachel and I were having dinner, and we were talking about how mothers never get a cold meal. Because it's right when, you know, it's in that movie, A Christmas Story, where the mom sits down, and right when she's getting ready to dig in, "Great. What do you need now?" Or you're getting ready for a big event and one of your children gets sick, or you get sick, or your husband gets sick, or someone gets sick and you can't make it. And it's like, "Oh." Or the boss tells you you have to stay late. Or maybe there are those in this room who your boss have told you, "You got to go into work tomorrow." And you're, "Oh, on Christmas." But again, God gives grace when we need it. How we need it. And he's a beautiful God to do that. So chapter 2 of verse 5, we continue. "He went there to register Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and expecting a child. and verse 6. More insult to injury here. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So not only did she have to travel, but then they get up, they walk into the inn, and they say, well, we don't have anything, but we have a place out back. And so she gives birth there. And again, these details that are so amazing. I want you to imagine in your mind, she gives birth to the firstborn. She wraps him in clothes. Picture that. Wrapping the Son of God in a manger out back with animals where it stinks. And so, we now move into the period where the shepherds are approached. The outcasts of society starting to develop a pattern here with Jesus' life. He's going to be humble. He's going to do the things that we don't normally do. So look at verse 11. They tell the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So here's how you're going to know. He's going to be in a feeding trough. He's going to be out back with animals. Not many babies are going to be born that way. So you'll know. It's like going into a 2,000 acre plot of land and trying to find where somebody is. And you see the campfire in the distance and you know that's where they are. And so when they approach Jesus, they say, that's the one. There he is. Jesus. Amazing. Verse 15. When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. When one becomes a believer in Christ, there's nothing that stops that person from doing what they know they need to do, which is tell more people about Jesus. It's not awkward anymore. And the shepherds just got visited by an angel. And they're the outcasts of the society. And God Almighty has gone to them and said, there's going to be a baby. His name's Jesus. And he's going to be wrapped in a feeding trough. And he's going to be the one that's the one. And they say, let's do it. Of course, let's go. And after this whole thing, they start telling people. They start saying, you got to hear what happened. Of course, they're not going to believe them, just like they don't believe Christians. Non-Christians don't believe this stuff. Just like they're not going to believe the shepherds. They're going to discount the shepherds and they're going to discount you. But do not fear. The Lord has found great favor with you. And He has given you a heart of flesh that beats for that Savior. Isn't that amazing? So they go to Mary. And they go spreading the word about Jesus like a man whose child has just been healed of a disease that was going to kill them. Can you imagine keeping that a secret? Shepherds aren't going to keep this a secret, and neither should you. And so then we hear in verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What is that amazement? I speculate that it was probably a little bit of both, but probably more on the negative. That's my gut. But you're sitting there on the 4th of July and you're watching a few fireworks go off. And you know something's coming. The finale, right? And here it comes. And you see it. And it's exploding. And what do? When you watch the finale at the fireworks? Do you talk? Do you text? Do you shop? Do you do any of these things? No. You say, kids, everybody, just sit back and ponder that. Isn't that amazing? Look at those fireworks. And they keep going. How long is this finale going to go? And I'm sure, this I know, that Mary sat back and relived the fireworks the finale that she had just gone through. Fireworks all the time, roller coaster, don't take me off, just make sure I know I'm safe. Let's go. And what is she? What happens in verse 19? It says, but Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. She ponders and she treasures. Have a little bit more sobering of an illustration, the end of Saving Private Ryan, where Matt Damon, after the last battle, and he has been spared, he sits down and he puts his hands on his head. I've never been to war, but I know, I've heard stories where they think about the details that happened to them. Wow, that happened there. I forgot that that happened in the moment. But if that wouldn't have happened, then who knows where I would have been. And they begin to piece everything together. And I want you to do that tonight. I want you to ponder and to treasure and to think, because you might not have had time this whole month to do it. And here is your opportunity. You've come here tonight, and I want you to take this opportunity that the God of the universe is giving you right now to ponder these things. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to come down, we're going to dim the lights, and we're going to light these candles. And in that period, there's your opportunity. Ponder Christ. And maybe there's some children here that'll ponder Christ for the first time. Or maybe there's some adults that are well advanced in their years, that have never submitted their lives to Jesus. Here's your opportunity. Or maybe you're a believer and you're just saying, Thank you, Lord. I really needed this. This was intense. This was a crazy Christmas for me. Not just the shopping, but there's all kinds of personal stuff that's going on too. Thank you. But I can just sit back and think about Jesus. Thank you. So wherever you are, God has given you the opportunity to do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and you have given us an opportunity and a time that we might ponder and treasure the beautiful things of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Speak to us now as we